Greetings. Welcome back to the Entheogenic Midwife. I'm Omalewa, and today we will be discussing entheogenic midwifery and what that is, what that means, and also what it means for you. Being a holistic doula and a midwife's assistant of 5 years, also being a medicine woman and working with the entheogens for 5 years, I don't feel there's a coincidence or many differences with the two. Lots of common factors, lots of common processes, and lots of common outcomes, in a way. Things just kind of are common for both when it comes to individuals and the transformation that takes place, different levels to it. One of the main things that I can say is common for the two is the fear. Lots of fear-based thoughts and beliefs when it comes to birth. Also when it comes to entheogens. Entheogens is a term that has been created to remove some of the stigma and negativity that comes with substances such as psilocybin mushrooms, ayahuasca, peyote, Bufo alvarius toad medicine, cannabis, and substances of that sort that are known to generate the God within or generate the divine within an individual. Again, common things like fear. So talking to a lot of new moms, first-time moms who may not know a lot about birth or what to expect or the processes or the changes that may come to their body or their lifestyle and things like that. But they know about what an epidural is, right? And nothing is wrong with an epidural. Many women need them, but it's something that they know will keep them from the pain or kind of numb their fears and things like that. So again, we're going into these practices fear-based. A lot of fears come from our religious practices or certain doctrines we've been exposed to from the beginning that may say that childbirth is a curse or the pain that comes with it is a curse, or there's a lot of suffering involved, or it's this emergency situation that everyone has to kind of have their part in to save you or help you, you know. And when it comes to birth, entheogenic birth or use of the entheogens, there's a lot of fear as far as the law is involved or it being a criminal activity. People, I've heard things like, no, I don't want to lose my mind, you know, I don't want to not come back, or I know someone who did this and they lost their mind, you know, things like that. And a lot of us people of color have been affected by the quote unquote war on drugs or the prison system, or we just see how these things tend to affect our families, especially with many of us being affected by the crack era, crack epidemic, or the prison era, which many of us born in the 80s or born out of the 80s have been subjected to in some type of way. So when it comes to the entheogens, there is a bit of backlash and again, fear as it relates to these substances that, like birth, are created to transform us, that are created to give us a new perspective on life, that are created to be a rites of passage for those involved with the process. When you see birth on television, it's this screaming, yelling, horrific, terrible thing. And it's like, I got to get to the hospital where they can, you know, help me. What if something goes wrong? You know, new parents, again, no judgment. When I ask about home birth as an option, they say, oh, no, what if something happened? You know, fear just tends to be the guiding force. But through proper knowledge, proper education, and proper planning does what? Prevents poor performance. So with birth, there is a childbirth education piece that is important that helps to prepare you for this experience. And when done before pregnancy, it can assist with your preconception, that whole preconception space of how you prepare, getting with yourself and your truths, with your thoughts around birth, again, your fears, your programming, getting with yourself as far as what you're not aware of or knowledgeable about, especially now with conscious parenting being on the rise. People want to be more purposeful about the souls that they're bringing into their existence, into this realm, which I applaud and commend for the families that are able to do that. Lots of components with these pieces, and there'll be other shows that will cover different pieces of it. But again, there's the preconception phase, there's the pregnancy, there's the birth or labor piece, and one of the most important pieces that many people, they're all extremely important, but the postpartum piece is extremely important because that tends to be the space where most people don't prepare, or how can, it's almost like kind of how can you prepare for something that you had no clue about or something that's never happened to you. So with that, it is important to have to consult with people who are aware, who have experiences in these areas, to have a great support team throughout the whole process and into your postpartum piece. Same thing with the entheogenic journey or rebirth. So when we talk about entheogenic midwifery or rebirth, it's using these sacred substances to rebirth yourself. And with the rebirth comes a cleansing. It comes a breaking open of sorts, just like the seed, in order for it to reach its fullest, ultimate expression. It has to be submerged in the darkness. It has to be broken open for it to change and shift and transform and come to full harvest, you know. With entheogenic birth, it's the same thing. It's designed to crack you open. The protocol calls for darkness. You know, there's a shift that takes place, again, with being born. You've been in the darkness for quite a long time. And once you come into the light and take that first breath, you know, you have a completely different existence. So through entheogenic midwifery, through entheogenic birth, rebirth, because typically it happens more than once, you're able to plan and prepare and set sacred space, setting, cleanse your body, cleanse your home, cleanse your email list, your contact list, the people in your environment that don't serve your highest great and who aren't in alignment with your vision for yourself and for your birth. So we need to reevaluate how we view birth, childbirth, and we have to reevaluate how we view entheogenic birth and how we're viewing these substances that were created to help us survive, to help us shift, to help take the weight off of our shoulders, how we're processing information. Again, birth is something that we have to go back and change the whole culture of how we're walking into this thing, how we're standing in it, how we're healing on the back end, how our family and friends support us. Even the knowledge that they give, or the support that they give, the energy that they give throughout this process, those people need to be aware as well. You know, it's a lot of components involved. Birth is so multifaceted. So when we get into entheogenic birth, I find that people aren't opening themselves up and allowing themselves to truly be vulnerable, to truly be cracked open to that place that maybe you haven't been open before. You know, a lot of these things are kind of cliche or quote, like the whole seed in its ultimate expression. But in those states of entheogenic rebirth, you fully embody these words, you fully embody these experiences, like you are the seed in darkness. You are cracked open. You can see the tiny leaves in some cases and the soil and all that's involved in order for that submerging through the earth takes place, being rebirthed and reborn through the earth. I find interesting that one common factor with entheogenic ceremonies, I work with psilocybin or magic mushrooms specifically, but a common factor is people going back to the womb of their mother. How ironic is that, right? I've personally been reborn through the entheogenic components and I've been reborn many times, right? Rebirth, different components, have to look back, reevaluate, but I was literally birthed. That particular journey was with my menstrual blood in water. Many of you know I do a lot of work with the blood work, but in addition to that, with water. I'm a Pisces, so water is everything to me. Us as humans, water is everything to us. So using these different components, just like birth, right? Many women now are going back to using the water as a comfort measure or to bring in this new life. So again, introducing water in both cases of serving women and families, massage therapy, aromatherapy, all of these things go into place as comfort measures to help with the breathing, to help with the psychological shifting when you get into these deep places or emotional places or places where you feel like you can't go any further. You know, with birth, your support team. Now, when we talk about support and we talk about the entheogenic journey, a lot of people say, oh, you know, you need a sitter, you need a gatekeeper, you know, you need someone there with you. And yes, you too. You know, you need to see how you're going to respond or how your body is going to respond to the substances. Your body, things are going to be okay. It's typically the mental that people are still coming to grips with what's going on, what's taking place. You have the medicine inside of you now, you know, just like a baby, there's no little bit pregnant. So we have to get into the depths of this thing, you know. I think about the placenta being a part of the birth process, of course, one of the most important organ that we have. You know, people talk a lot about the heart, they talk a lot about the lungs, they talk a lot about the brain, right? All important, but all of those come from the placenta first taking hold, first taking root, attaching itself to the uterus like no other animal on this planet. So again, just the multifaceted, multi-dimensional components that come with birth. I would like to talk about dosage and birth in a sense of, so I phased out of hospital birth for various reasons, and I primarily work in home birth setting, and it's apples and oranges as it relates to birth. One thing that I found to be powerful is gauging a woman's cervix, her dilation and effacement. And throughout the process of labor, the hospitals are coming, they're checking the cervix, and they're, you know, oh, you're 2 centimeters, you're 3 centimeters. And I found, as well as learned, that when a woman is in that process doing her thing, that most cases the dilation doesn't matter. And it can have adverse effects. So let's say a woman is laboring, what she feels is a hard labor for her. And the nurse comes, hey, we need to check you and see what's going on, and say she's a 3. And she's like, wow, like I went through all that and I'm only a 3, you know? So we allow the woman to labor more, and say a couple hours goes by and it, you know, appears to be, you know, taking this toll on her, taking her through the process, which may appear, or, you know, for lack of better words, maybe wearing her out, or taking her there, or tiring her out, or taking her through various emotions. And the nurse comes back and say, we're going to check you again. And they check her and say, you know what? You're maybe about a 4, 4.5. And it's like, whoa. You know, so mentally it does something. So what I'm finding more recently, the more I consult with individuals and the more people go through the ceremonies, that the number, you know, the dosage, all the experts and gurus around the world say, oh, we're going to start with 3 grams. We're going to start with 5 grams as a protocol for first timers. You know, who creates these things? I found myself as well going along with these protocols and personally finding that it's not enough. And again, that's my personal opinion based on my experience. So I'm a deep person. Naturally, I come here deep, very passionate, connected. And the more work that I do with women and families and with the medicine, the deeper I become, the deeper the rabbit hole gets. And what I find is that people aren't taking enough to be broken open. They're not taking enough to allow the transformation and the process to occur that puts them in that rites of passage space, just like birth was intended to do. So people want to stay in the areas where it's safe, right? Society has it where people are afraid to be broken open. You know, they're afraid to be vulnerable. They're afraid to be authentic. They're afraid to stand in their truth. And that's what the medicine was created to do. So I'm personally reevaluating dosages because a lot of people. So a short story. Someone was referred to me, and I do a consultation with individuals to kind of see where they are on their path, what they need. Most people are kind of at a space where they're ready to get out of their own way, or they say, oh, Malewa, I've tried everything and it isn't working, or I'm stagnant, or I'm just ready to step into my best self. You know, I'm ready to release the sexual trauma. I'm ready to release the addiction, the depression, the anxiety, or, you know, so many are suffering from post-traumatic stress, post-traumatic relationship disorders, post-traumatic slavery as it relates to people of color in our community. So it's just a lot that people are looking to release and relieve themselves of and be light and to be connected back to source, like how we were when we were born, you know, fresh, free, anointed, light, you know. And in many cases, we need to get back to that space so that we can start afresh, start regenerating new brain cells and blood cells and skin cells, and again, removing the things that no longer serve us. So I find with dosage, kind of like birth, people want to know, you know, how much and what is it going to do and what's going to happen. And I find with birth too, in some cases, people can research too much, you know, instead of seeing what intuitively they feel should be done or what they need. Many moms ask me certain questions about their birth, which is great. But oftentimes I recommend asking your baby, asking your womb, tapping in and seeing what you need specifically, which may be different for what I feel for you, or just allowing yourself to find a space within yourself that what I'm saying resonates for you. You know, so sometimes with Googling or asking too many other people, you can get some birth stories that you may not be ready for. Or guess what? You take another person's birth story and or experiences into your journey and your experience. And you find that, guess what? Maybe it wasn't as painful as you thought. Or maybe it wasn't as scary as you thought it would be. Or maybe you didn't tear like the person who had a tear all the way through to their anus, for instance. You know, so here you are having all these fears and saying, oh, wow, I barely even pushed and I was breathing and the baby came out. You know, yes, you can breathe your baby down. You can breathe your baby out. You know, so these are, again, another component with entheogenic medicine. It's breathing your way through it, breathing your way out. Like, it's okay. As your doula, as your midwife's assistant, as your medicine woman, I trust birth. I trust the medicine, you know? I trust the process. I trust the ups and downs that come with it. I trust what's considered to be good, bad, and ugly, you know? I've been blessed to stand in these spaces as these portals are open, with people being completely vulnerable and trusting and facing this thing head on. Because when that baby is inside of you, it has to come out one way or another. It's going to come out. There's going to be some blood involved. There's going to be some water involved. There's going to be joy involved. There's going to be bliss. There's going to be some tears. There's going to be some laughter, you know. But with fear doesn't mean that you don't do it. In some cases, yes. And there may be some things you need to address before stepping into pregnancy and birth because of the fears that you have and how they may impact you and the baby and your family and your mental health on the other end. Trust me, you will begin to question everything that you believe. That's what it was designed to do. Just like the entheogens. Don't step into it if you're not ready, if you're fearful. You know, now entheogenic ceremonies and the medicine is becoming trendy. You know, people are taking it because they're seeing the beautiful ceremonies. They're seeing the impact that it's having on people. And a lot of times people want to be down, and that's okay. But how the medicine affects you is different from how it's going to affect the next individual. That's why I tell everyone in both cases, again, they're synonymous to me. It's the same. Your birth story is going to be different, you know. How you carry your baby and give birth, how you carry your dreams and visions and manifestations and how they come into fruition is going to be different. Again, some similarities, but again, it's for you. You're connecting with your God self. You're connecting with your divine self. You're connecting with and with the God and with the divine. Again, that's multifaceted and what that looks like. You know, when with Mother Earth and her levels of creation and destruction, you know, what has to happen to the body in order for this child to be born may appear to some people to be destruction. And it, immediately what happens after that baby is born, your body begins to start healing and regenerating itself, producing milk or certain processes that come with the milk that's involved to sustain this child and this life. Same thing with the birth. You know, what needs to sustain you on the other end? What are you going to need from this point forward now that you're cleansed and renewed and rebirthed into this new reality? You know, hydration is important on both ends. When you're going through this thing, just regular hydration from day to day is important with allowing the right oxygen and nutrients and minerals into your body. So why would you not be hydrated during birth? You know, why would you not be hydrated through your entheogenic ceremonies prior to, during, and after? You know, fasting is a component that's in place. Now, when you're talking about fasting and pregnancy, that's a different topic because your body is in such a mode of building and creating and sustaining. But that fasting can come in other forms of television or people, right? We're creating a new life. So we have to be sensitive. You know, we have to be aware of the sacredness of the processes and really tuning in and listening and being aware and allowing. Birth is a process of surrender. And now most people don't want to surrender or they don't know how. We haven't been conditioned spiritually as a people, you know, as a society, as a culture, even in a lot of cases. We haven't been conditioned spiritually and what certain things look like and feel like and just our power overall to not allow things to destroy us or have these negative impacts on us, you know. Birth is a joyous thing. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's powerful when we can be fully supported and trusted throughout the process, you know? Again, I trust birth. So when it comes to the medicine, when it comes to the process, I don't come from a place of fear. So another reason for this medium through the Entheogenic Midwife podcast is to empower you through your birth, through preparing, through your integration or postpartum journey with the medicine and through birth as well. So let's begin to deprogram ourselves as it relates to birth, as it relates to entheogens, as it relates to surrender and transformation and allowing